Hey, it's been a good day. Amen. Man, baptisms right out of the gate. We've had some great music. We've had baptisms. We've gathered around the Lord's table. We could just go ahead and go home, right? I mean, I don't have to have a sermon, right? No. You go to a guy's house one time and he thinks you can do that from the... Anyway. Hey, I don't know if you got your t-shirts yet. I know Kendall hit on that earlier. I encourage you to get your t-shirt. We want you wearing those t-shirts around town because they are great conversation starters. I don't know if you've done that already this week. Some of you that have them, if you've had any conversations with people about them, I'd love to hear about it. If you don't mind, send me some stories, some emails. We want to hear about how the Lord is using those t-shirts. How many of you, by show of hands, how many of you have a fence around your yard? Raise your hand if you have a fence around your yard, all right? This is the fence at our house, back up there to that other one. This is the fence. You got to look past the basketball goal, past the slide, past Dwayne Bryles and I baptizing his mother. That was an awesome day as well. But that's the fence around our... She was 95 years old. That is awesome. Can I get an amen to that? 95 years old. God's working in this place right now, I think, and we're just baptizing a lot of people, and that was exciting. But you can see the brown fence there through my house, and the front yard, it's wide open. We've got no fence at all in the front yard. And honestly, here's what we've done at our house sometimes, and maybe some of you can relate to this. We don't really care as much about the backyard and what is fenced in and what the neighbors can't really see like we do the front yard. Is anybody with me on that? Like, for instance, if like the grass needs cut and there is rain on the horizon, I'm going to cut the front yard first because that's what people see. I don't really care what it looks like all that much in the backyard. And Stacy's sitting back there right now saying, really, you cut the grass? But I thought that was me that did that. But anyway, we do that, don't we? Anybody else with me on that? You don't worry. Raise your hand. Be proud about it, okay? That you really don't care about the fenced-in part that people don't see. You don't care about that as much as you do the front yard that everybody else sees. Fences come in all kinds of shapes and styles and sizes, and put some of those up there. Some of these might look familiar. They're not your houses, if any of you are wondering about that. But you've seen them like this. You know, you've got your solid fences and your chain link fences and your wrought iron fences and things like that. Honestly, though, I've seen some fences that are absolutely pointless. Here's one. I'm like, who thought this was a good idea? You know, we're going to put a fence up and we're going to keep that really skinny dog out of our yard or what? I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know. Here's another one. I put this one up here. A pointless fence. You know, I don't know who did it. Probably, I'm guessing the government had something to do with this one right here. You know, just kind of pointless. This one is a head scratcher as well. Look at this one. Okay, it's not even a fence. It's just a gate, you know, to this yard. And look what this says. Can you see the sign on the gate? Please close the gate. Yeah, we really need to do that because you couldn't go around. But anyway, it's not even a fence. It's just a gate. In most cases, what a fence is designed to do is to keep something out or to hold something in. For instance, we have to have a fence around our backyard because we have a swimming pool, and if we didn't, we'd get in trouble with the city. So we have to have that fence to keep people out. Some of you have fences because you have pets or something like that, the kids maybe, that you need to keep in the backyard. And so you have this fence to either keep out or keep in. It's kind of a separation from the backyard to the front yard. It's a separation between two spaces. As we continue our series today, I Love ECCC, this concept of fencing is going to play a big part in what we're going to see today, okay? It's one of God's plans for the church. It's one of the ways that we can show our love for one another. If you are a part of the church, if you call ECCC home, then God wants you to live our lives connected with one another, not separated from one another. God wants us to be connected to Him. He wants us to be connected to one another. It's God's desire that we live in community with one another. And you say, okay, that sounds great, but what do fences have to do with what you're talking about? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow off the screen with me. It's Hebrews 10. Verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, before we start to see what the writer of Hebrews is saying here, I want to go back to the fence for a moment. I want you to imagine that this fence, okay, this represents our lives, all right? If we are honest with ourselves, a lot of us would admit that we like a good fence. We like that separation. We like that barrier between us and someone else. Our lives are right here in this yard behind the fence. This fence is here to keep us away from some of the things that we don't like or the things that we think that we don't need. And we are comfortable showing people and letting people know about us if we are on the other side of the fence. Okay? If we're in our front yard, we're okay telling people about that. We're okay letting people see what's in the front yard because, right, as I illustrated earlier, our front yards are the ones that we care about what people see. Our front yards are the ones that are supposed to look nice. Our front yards are the ones that we trim. Our front yards are the ones that when your trimmer breaks down, you're willing to take a shovel and straight edge your entire driveway so people can see just how lovely your front yard looks, all right? There's maybe only a couple of us nut jobs that'll do something like that. We like a good fence. Our yard might even be beautifully manicured. Maybe some of you guys have got a guy like this in your neighborhood. We got a guy down the street from us. Hope he's not here today. There's a guy down the street from us that I think he works in his yard every single day. Anybody got a neighbor like that? And he waters it, and he fertilizes it, and he cuts it, and he trims it, and he manicures it. When you go by his yard, his grass is about that high, but it is so neatly manicured that it just looks awesome. It's nice and plush. It looks like shag green carpet. I'm not going to lie. It's amazing. He's in it every day, right? I'm not that big a fan of doing that, and I don't know if you are or not, but here's the deal. We go through great lengths to show people the good parts of us, the pretty parts of us, the nice parts of us. We don't want people to see the parts of our lives that should be in the backyard. We don't want people to see the goats and the chickens and the piles of dog in our backyards, right? And so we hide that from people. You know? Everything in the house, in the front of the house, in the front yard, it looks perfect. It's great. People drive by and say, oh, that's wonderful. We do that with our lives. But where we really live is back here, on this side of the fence. Do you follow what I'm saying? You know? And here's the big deal about fences. God doesn't really like them all that much. No? He's not a big fan. I mean, he's okay with the literal fence around the house and all that. That's good. But when it comes to our relationship with him, he doesn't want this fence. He wants the pretty part and the junky part. And not only does he want us to have that relationship with him, he wants us to have that relationship with other people as well. He wants us to let people pass our fences into our lives, past just the pretty stuff, and to see all the junk as well. And if we're going to love ECCC the way that God wants us to, if we're going to love ECCC, sometimes it's hard to stop there, isn't it? Like God wants us to like he loves the church, then we got to get past, we got to break down these fences. Because that's the first thing that God shows us in his word is this. Jesus has crashed through that fence. Before we can even talk about the fences that we build separating us from other people, we have to acknowledge the fence that exists between us and God. How many of you remember, Kendall and I were talking about this morning. I was looking for a video but didn't have time to edit it and make it real cool. But do you remember the Hey Kool-Aid commercials? You remember those? And they're like having this party in the backyard. You're like, hey, Kool-Aid! And comes crashing through the fence. And I was like, well, God didn't really do that necessarily, but he has broken that fence, that barrier for us. Look at what it says in Hebrews, the first part of our passage. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest, that's Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings. And having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed pure with water. And that's a reference to baptism. And the writer of Hebrews is basically saying this. Because Jesus was willing to break the fence, we now have access to God. Before we didn't have a way, and because of what Jesus did on the cross, we now have a way. The Bible talks about the curtain, right? Remember the veil that was torn when Jesus was crucified and how God tore the curtain to the Holy of Holies, signifying that we have access now to God through Jesus. The Bible talks about how the Holy of Holies, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And that's significant because if it would have been from bottom to top, we could have said, well, man did it just to say, you know, this is what it should be. Because man, if they wanted to, they could just cut the bottom, get a couple guys on the end, they could pull it, and all the way, it would just tear all the way up, wouldn't it? But the Bible says that the veil was torn from top to bottom, signifying that God has now removed that veil between us and him. He has removed that fence between us and him because of what Jesus did, and now we have access to the throne. I got to be honest, that's why I get a little agitated when churches choose not to acknowledge the cross in fear of it being offensive to some people. Without the cross, what's the point? We're no different than a social club. We're no different than, say, the American Legion or the Eagles or the Moose or something like that. Without the cross, we're just a group of people that's getting together and hanging out. But because of the cross, we now have access to the Creator of the universe. And we will never make it into the presence of God if it were not for the cross. The book of Romans puts it this way. Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have a fence. Okay? Every single one of us, there is this separation between us and God because of our sin. But Romans 6:23 tells us this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of this fence that exists, as long as this fence is here, we will never have access to God. Because of the fence, we will never get to God. But Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God knew that there was going to be this big fence between us and him before we even had a yard. But then he says this in Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. one. No matter how bad a person's life might be in the past, no matter what they might be going through, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so God never denies a fence crashing job. He will always break that barrier between us and Him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever drawn near to God? Have you ever acknowledged that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you ever been baptized into Him like James and Kelsey were this morning and allowed Him into your life? That's how the fence is broken down. And when I say you've allowed Jesus into your life, I mean all of it. Not just the front yard where all the pretty stuff is. Because here's the deal. We can try to keep that fence up a little bit, kind of like a portable fence, you know, where we say, yeah, God, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And I want enough of you to be able to go to heaven, but there's some stuff I'm going to withhold from you. There's some stuff I'm going to hide from you. There's some stuff, God, I don't want you to see, so I'm going to keep this fence up. But here's the deal. He sees it anyway. You can put that fence up, but it's not a privacy fence. It's more of a chain link fence. He can see right through it. It doesn't really matter, so why even construct it? Let Him in. You know? And then after we do that, the Bible teaches us that we're to allow other people into our yard. We come to church here each week on the corner of Mar Road and Indiana Avenue, and we sing songs, and we smile, and we hug, and we gather around the table, and we say good morning. We even eat sometimes. That's an awesome thing. But sometimes we do it from behind the fence. You might be thinking, well, you know, I thought you said that Jesus crashed through that fence, that He broke that down. Well, He did for every single one of us that believe in Jesus, that have been baptized into Him. He's made it possible for us to be with God. But how does that impact us as a group? Because what happens sometimes is we allow God to break the fence down between us and Him, but we want to keep these fences up between us and other people. You know? Imagine for just a moment, all of mankind is standing before a fence of sin. And all of a sudden, it just comes tumbling down when Jesus died on the cross. And so when I draw near to Him and I become His follower, there's no fence anymore. When you draw near to God to become a follower, God has taken that fence away. Okay, so the fence is not in existence now. It shouldn't be in the community of God. But here's what we do. We take some wood and we start building those fences up. For various reasons, you know, we start building the fences between us and other people for all kinds of unbiblical, or should I say non-biblical reasons. We don't get on the same page, or we build the fence. You use whatever terminology you want for reasons that aren't even biblical. They're just opinion or like or dislike or whatever the case may be. And so we build these fences because we only want people to see the pretty parts. We don't want people to see our laundry hanging in the backyard. All right? So we keep building those walls. We keep very careful tabs on what parts of our property we allow people to see. What parts of our yard we let people walk in. And if we're going to love our church, if we're going to love ECCC, we've got to be intentional about it. You can't just accidentally love something. You have to intentionally love something or someone. And that doesn't mean I love this building, and it doesn't mean I love these programs, and it doesn't mean that I love the staff. I know that's not the case. It might be we got to do a better job of loving each other. I think that's what it is, isn't it? Loving each other. More than anything. And it's hard to love another person from the other side of the fence. You can't do it. That's why the Apostle Paul told us this, do not forsake the assembling together, as some are in the habit of doing. This is a verse that we preachers used to use for years. Well, I shouldn't say used to. We still kind of do it, don't we? To guilt people into coming to church. Oh, you shouldn't miss. Do not forsake the assembling of one another. You need to get here every week, be here every week. But what the author is really talking about is this. It's bigger than this. Sunday, yes, you need to be here. But it's way more than Sunday. He's talking about doing life together. When we read in the book of Acts, when we see the first century church, what were they doing? They were doing everything together. They were selling their possessions and they were giving the money to people every single day that had need. They were doing life together outside of just coming on Sunday morning. And I think that living in community and loving our church means that we stop building these fences and we start being real. We let our guards down a little bit. Be ourselves with other people. Have those deeper relationships with people around you. Have deeper relationships with the people around you. Get to know them on a level more than just, oh yeah, that's the guy that sits a couple rows in front of me. I see him about every week. But what do you know about him? You know, other than maybe his hair's getting a little thinner in the back. What do you know? You know? And that means sometimes we have to let people into the backyard, even if there's toys all over the yard, even if the weeds aren't pulled, even if the dog's been out there, we let people in. How many of you remember Tim the Tool Man Taylor? Home Alone, you remember him? Or Home Improvement, not Home Alone, that was another thing. Home Improvement, and he had a next door neighbor, who can tell me his name? Wilson, okay. Wonderful show. I love this. Still catch it every once in a while on TV. But they were neighbors for years, right? But this is all you ever saw of the guy's face. They were neighbors the whole time that they were on TV together. And you know, use your imaginations as far back as you want to go. But they were neighbors for years. And this is all they ever saw or all we ever saw of him. Sometimes that's like that in the church. We're that way with church folks sometimes. We sit in pews with people and we serve on committees with people. We might even enjoy Sunday school class or Bible study together, but we never really see someone's whole face. We only get a glimpse of them from behind our fences. And so John Doe's on the other side of the fence and maybe we see his face. Maybe we don't, but honestly, at the end of the day, there's that fence that's there. And if this fence is here and we see a brother in need, how can we embrace a brother or a sister in need with this barrier between us? If you've got an issue in your family, a family crisis, let's say, and you need help, how's someone going to help you if you've got this barrier in place? The fence impedes our community, and we have to get in the yard with other people, and we have to let other people into our yard. Hebrews 10:25, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So whose yard are you standing in? Who's standing in your yard? I remember when I was growing up, us kids on Ridge Street in Brazil, Indiana, we played wiffle ball in our backyard a lot. We had a great wiffle ball yard in left field. Everybody was right-handed batters, and we had this big garage, and if it went on top of the garage, that was a home run. We had the perfect wiffle ball yard, except for right field. And if Andy Lumsden showed up, who was a big left-handed hitter, we hated it. And we liked Andy okay, but he was left-handed, and so when he would hit, he would pull the ball to right field. Well, right field was Mrs. Palm's garden. Okay, not not was part of the garden in right field. It basically was right field, the way and Andy would hit the ball in the garden, and we would have to go over and get the ball. And I don't know how she did it. It didn't matter what time of day it was. But the moment we stepped into the garden, we heard this peck on the window. And I think she had the tomatoes. There was an alarm on the tomatoes or the green beans, I think. There had to be. You know, she'd be saying, "You get out of my yard," you know, this kind of stuff. And she needed a fence, really. She did. That's the one that I think, you know, she needed a fence. But community means allowing people into your space. And then finally, enjoy the company. Enjoy it. Imagine being a kid at a birthday party and the host didn't plan anything for the birthday party. You take your kid to the birthday party and you sit down at the table the host brings out a bowl of bran flakes for the kids for a birthday party. And for a drink, you've got unsweetened 5-day-old tea that's been sitting on the counter, and there's no balloons and there's no party favors or anything like that. You walk out of there saying, "Man, they didn't put any effort into that. That was awful," right? There's no games, there's no face paint, no balloons, no nothing. You'd leave that party pretty disappointed. I know your kids would. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." In other words, what the author is saying here, spur one another on, it could be translated as stimulate. In other words, let's consider, let's contemplate, let's strategize, let's put some effort into it, let's try. Let's spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let's try. Instead of staying on your side of the fence, instead of staying in your yard and watching someone's life from a distance, would you get into their yard and get to know them a little bit? Get to know their hearts? Instead of the smallest little thing that comes along that you want to be critical about or negative about in someone's life, that you say, "Well, they're not doing that the right way," or whatever, would you just look beyond that, get into their yard and say, "Man, I understand. I love you. Might not agree with you, but I love you." You know, encourage one another. Be intentional about it. That's what the Bible's asking us to do. Get outside the four walls of this building and be the church with one another and with those who aren't here yet. Get beyond the walls of the fences that we've built and maybe paint someone else's wall. Pull some weeds. Babysit a kid. Someone's going through a rough time. Take them a meal. Take them out to eat. You know, those people that you know that when you're in trouble and you're having a difficult time, those are the people that you can call and they're going to be there. It's enjoying one another. You know, if all we're getting is just showing up on a Sunday morning and just sharing about an hour in the church pew side by side, that's not what God intended for His church. Let's spur one another along as we see the day approaching. What he means is this: we need to stimulate one another until God calls you home. That's the day that's approaching. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the day when either we are called home to be with Jesus, or the day when God the Father says, "Jesus, I've seen enough, go get him." We spur one another on. We encourage one another. We love one another until that happens. When you leave here this morning, I encourage you to love your church. Know that Jesus has crashed through that fence for you. And because of that, you need to let some people stand in your yard and enjoy the company doing it. Now, just so you know, 3 weeks from today, we are having Family Appreciation Day. It's going to be at Kendall and Sandy's once again. We encourage, make plans to be there. That's on September the 22nd from 4 to 7 in the afternoon. This is an opportunity for the whole church body to come together. We have music and games and food, and it's just a wonderful time. Plan to be there. It's a great way to get to know some people in the church. But as we close, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Maybe there's some of you that are sitting out there this morning that you just realize that God's broke down every barrier for you to get to Him. You say, well, you know, He doesn't want anything to do with me. Again, He doesn't know my past. Yes, He does. He knew your past before you were ever born. You know, that's mind-boggling. But He's known you forever. And He knows all your junk. And He loves you anyway. And He was willing to send His Son to die for your junk, and He broke down that fence. And maybe there's some of you here that need to come to Him today. You need to surrender your life to Him. You need to repent of your sins and be baptized into Him. Maybe that's you. Or maybe there's some of you here today. Maybe you've been attending here for a while. And you just want to become a part of a church family that's trying to love one another the best they can. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and if there's a need today, we encourage you to come during this song, just as you are.